Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
What can happen in 1300 years? Well, a lot, particularly if it's in Narnia time. Prince Caspian, the next installment of the C.S. Lewis Chronicles of Narnia series, it's on its way. And according to the trailer, you could find Narnia a more savage place than you remember. Joining us now is the co-producer of the film and stepson to C.S. Lewis, Douglas Gresham. It's great to talk to you again, Douglas.
It's nice to hear you, Sheridan. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good, I've got to say, congratulations again on not just doing the magic once, doing it twice.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
What was the best piece of feedback that you received after The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe came out? After all the reviews and everything, what was the best bit of feedback you got?
That's a difficult one to answer. I got emails from people all over the world. Because I do quite a lot of email counseling, my email address is quite relatively easy to get hold of. And I got so many emails from people just thanking me and blessing me for putting the movie out, as if I'd done it all by myself. In fact, of course, there's a huge team behind all these things, and they are great guys, and they've done a wonderful job. They did a wonderful job with Lion Witch,
yes.
And I think they've done an even better job with Prince Caspian.
Yes. Would the expectations be even higher, though, for Prince Caspian after The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe actually resulted to be?
Funny you should ask that. The night of the premiere of the world premiere of Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, after the movie, I turned to Andrew Adams and I said, "Right, Andrew, you've set the bar pretty high. We better get working on the next one." And he said, "Well, can we have some time off first, please?" Yeah, I think the expectations are very high. But this is one of the things that people don't quite understand, I think, is that we don't make sequels, because each of these books is a totally standalone adventure in its own right. Mm-hmm. And the character of Narnia changes from book to book, and the whole character of the adventure changes from book to book. So as you remarked, as we began, Narnia, in this case, is going to be a somewhat more savage place than people remember from Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. It's going to be a lot more dramatic place, too. A lot more happens in this movie. It's interesting because Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe is such a fabulous story and written already in a dramatic form that we didn't have to do a lot to it or change it in much way at all to make it work on the screen. Prince Caspian is absolutely the opposite, because it's not written at all in a dramatic form. It's a linear story, which simply wouldn't work the way it is in the book on a film.
So what were the big
changes? Some major changes.
Yeah, what were they?
You will find a lot more action in this movie because we have, and we also, of course, don't forget, we have poor old Peter, High King Peter and the other children, but particularly Peter, who was High King of Narnia for maybe 15 or 17 years and then suddenly found himself having to go back to school again and be a kid. He has to make a total new adjustment, his character development through Prince Caspian is fascinating. And Will Mosley, who plays him, did a fantastic job with the role. He just has blossomed as an actor.
Yeah. I understand that you and the director of the film, Adam Adamson, who you've mentioned just before, had a bit of a conversation with regards to the female characters and how they should be portrayed in Prince Caspian.
We had a lot of conversations regarding the female characters and how they should be portrayed.
Because he actually thought that they were a bit too passive, not really empowered enough for female viewers.
Yeah, he did think so. I was present at the birth of my children. And to think that there's anything I could do that would further empower a woman is absolutely beyond the pale of my imagination. Women absolutely rule the world, at least they certainly rule my world anyway. I think they probably always have. So I thought that was a bit of a, you know, I just don't think he quite understands yet. But then he only has two little girls so far. Maybe when they grow up a bit, he'll learn a bit more about the power of women folk. But yes, we did have some discussions. And seriously, I sort of held with Jack's viewpoint that battles are ugly when women fight, and I think they are. But Andrew pointed out that after he met my mother and was married to her for a while, his attitude changed slightly because he does have Jill in the silver chair fighting in the battles and so forth. And I had to admit, he made some pretty good points.
Yeah.
So we eventually achieved a sort of consensus on it.
Because this is the very nature of what you do, and I know that we've talked about this in the past, trying to stay true to Lewis's original vision of these books. Lots of people want to do their own strange take on Narnia. And so, in many ways, you are trying to retain the essence of what Lewis originally wanted for the stories, aren't you?
Absolutely, particularly in what they mean. The underlying meanings of all of these books, I think, are so important to society today, even more probably than they were in Jack's day. And I think he was writing for the future, by the way. I don't think he was writing for his own time. He was using things that had happened in his own times, in fictional senses, in Narnia, to show us what we need to know for the future. But yes, it's essential to me that his underlying meanings and the ethos of the books remains the same. And this holds good for everything else that's done with Narnia, too. I'm the world's Narnian nuisance.
Yeah. And proud of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Douglas Gresham is with us on Open House. Theopenhouse.net.au has the podcast. He's the stepson of C.S. Lewis and the co-producer behind the latest Narnian installment, Prince Caspian. Really has been a dream of yours to get these stories onto the big screen, hasn't it, Douglas? What challenges have you faced along the way to do just that?
Well, of course, it's been my dream for a very, very long time, since I was a young teenager. I've always thought these would make tremendous movies. But, of course, the Holy Spirit of God, who rules my life, has inhibited the development of these movies until the cinema technology had developed to a stage where we could do them justice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've been trying for a long time to get these movies made and have sort of had to stop each time because it wasn't working. This time, now that we can really put Aslan on the screen with the majesty and dignity he deserves, we got it done.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the biggest challenges was just hanging fire and waiting until, I mean, I'm an impatient sort of guy, but waiting 20 years, you know, difficult for me. But finally, you know, the cinema technology had got to the stage where we can do it justice. And to me, the challenges have been sort of twofold. Really. First of all, waiting to get them done at all. But secondly, the challenge of actually getting them done right, which first means finding the right company, finding the right people, finding the right directors, writers, and so on, right down to the nitty-gritty of finding the right bulldozer driver to put the road in where you need one and things like that. I mean, there are so many people involved in making these movies who never really get mentioned or thought about, the plasterers, the painters, the decorators, the set builders. You know, all kinds of crafts and artisans are involved. Finding them all, though it's not my direct task, is, of course, one of the challenges. But also one of the biggest challenges of Narnia is that everybody who reads the books immediately forms in their own minds the image of what Narnia looks like and
sure.
the image of what all the characters look like and so forth. Our challenge as filmmakers is to do something which is even better than people's imaginations provide for themselves. And I think, you know, in Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, and especially in Prince Caspian, I think we've done that.
I remember sitting in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and my wife and I were just talking about Aslan afterwards and talking about the majesty there. And, of course, we cannot forget the background to all of this. It was Lewis's Christian faith and the fact that there was very clear references there between Aslan and the person of Jesus. How has that continued on in Prince Caspian?
Well, in Prince Caspian, the messages are somewhat different in that Prince Caspian is all about a return to true faith, justice, honor, and glory after many years, in this case over a millennium, of corruption. Now, that return to these realizations of what really is real about the world they live in, Narnia, and also about our world too, for that matter, comes to each of the children independently, one by one, through the book and through the movie. And they have to make their own choices, their own realizations, and their own decisions. And for Peter particularly, it happens in the movie in a pretty brutal way. I mean, he has a real wake-up call.
Mm.
Now, you'll see it in the film. In fact, quite a few friends of mine say that it brings them to tears.
Mm.
It's a very, very powerful sequence. And it happens to each of the kids. I mean, I don't know if you've read the book lately, but you may remember that, first of all, Lucy sees Aslan and none of the children believe her.
Yes.
And then one by one, they are unable to see him.
Yes.
And that is portrayed in the film, even in a sense, more powerfully than it is in the book. But the whole of Narnia, of course, has fallen under the reign of a dictatorial totalitarian regime under the evil King Miraz, who's murdered his brother and stolen the throne. So, you know, it's a very different story, and it has a very different underlying feel about it from Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. It's a much more exciting movie than Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, by the way. Caspian is a terrific film.
Mm.
I think, actually, it's a better movie than Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. It's interesting, we started with a much more difficult book, and I think that may have spurred the team to try even harder. And we wound up with, I think, a better movie than Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Douglas Gresham is with us on Open House. Douglas, I know in the past when I asked you, I said, you know, which of C.S. Lewis's works were the greatest? And you said, well, when it comes to nonfiction, probably Mere Christianity. When it comes to his fiction work, probably Till We Have Faces was his best piece of work. Out of all the Narnia chronicles, which one do you really think is the best? I mean, I'm kind of guessing Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, but which one do you really think has been the best book out of that series that Lewis wrote?
You know, that's about the most difficult question I've ever been asked.
Really?
I don't really have a favorite, you see, because I always say my favorite is whichever one I'm reading at the time someone asks me.
Yeah.
But as to which is the actual best book, I think it's probably The Last Battle. But I've never really sat down to think about that at any depth.
Mm.
But I think The Last Battle is probably the best. I will have to read them all again now that you've asked me.
I'm glad I've stimulated that. I mean, The Last Battle really is just, it is such an amazing story, and particularly the finale. It really is. It's a beautiful imagery, isn't it?
Absolutely, and that's why I think it's probably the best of all of them.
Well, Douglas, fascinating to talk to you again, as it always is, and we look forward to movie after movie coming out. But let's focus on the next one, Prince Caspian. Thanks for your time again.
Thank you indeed.
It's co-producer of Prince Caspian and stepson to C.S. Lewis, Douglas Gresham. Theopenhouse.net.au has the podcast if you missed it, or you know somebody who needs to hear it.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.